Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Greetings, theater friends. It is Throwback Thursday. It is I, Kevin David Thomas.
Greetings, prophets. The great work begins.
We hope that you're having a lovely summer. I'm sure you have lots of summer reading going on or summer YouTube watching.
Name the music already.
Summer, summer, I was like the summer, wondering where to go.
Name the musical.
Donna Summer musical?
No, this is a Tony Award-winning musical.
Oh, how I'm ashamed right now.
Two gentlemen.
Oh boy, that's the one that I feel like I always skip over.
Once again,
folks,
summer, I was like the summer, wondering where to go, beat out Follies.
There it is, and that's why I knew that there's always a couple musicals that won best musical, and you always forget one best musical.
First of all, you kind of forget they were a musical, period.
That's the one. That's one I always forget. I think, oh my goodness, wow. Okay.
Over Follies.
Guys, come on.
Isn't that interesting? That's why awards mean nothing in the grand scheme of things. I think.
No. I think they are fun to follow. I'm just like anyone else. I love watching the Tony Awards. I think it's great that they preserve so many things on screen that we can go back and watch those awards from 1971 as well. But it's, you have to take it with all with a grain of salt. It's all politics. It's all the producers. But within that, you can still have some fun. But it doesn't mean anything. I mean, look at Les Mis lasted years and years and years, and that didn't win. That was roasted by critics. And
absolutely,
yet that's the gateway drug for a lot of people into musical theater. So
absolutely.
Hey.
Can I ask you, what do you think is the most egregious, to quote Julie Andrews, win a musical that you were like, how did that win over blank? Like, how did Two Gentlemen win over Follies?
Well, that's way up there. I would take it actually farther back, and I'm sure this is a point of contention for some people, but 1957 Music Man over West Side Story. I think it's unbelievable to me that West Side Story was like Music Man. It's great. Music Man was of its era, but what West Side Story was doing and how it was just so out there and avant-garde and Bernstein and all that, that one, since I was a kid, always thought, really? Really?
Yeah, it's a bizarre one. That is a bizarre one.
It makes sense. I get it. Music Man's a really well – it's a great show. We're going to see it with Hugh Jackman in a little bit. But what about you? What do you have?
Well, I mean, that's a big one for me. There's a recent one recently. I don't want to say because I don't want to offend anybody. But there have been a couple in the past couple of years that have won that I'm like, how did that win? No shows will be mentioned because I have friends.
Does it? Okay, I was going to say, does it rhyme with? But I won't even do that.
What are you going to? Hanson. What are you going to say? No, I listen. Dear Evan Hansen and Come From Away were both amazing shows. I was hoping Come From Away was going to win. I really like Come From Away. That's all.
I was going to say, did it Shmum From A Shmay should have won? But yes. But hey, like we said, it's running. It's doing very, very good business. The ticket sales are still up, you know. So, hey.
In a world where both of these shows can exist, there is nothing better. And at the end of the day, the awards mean absolutely nothing.
Remember Wicked and Avenue Q. That was a big
Q.
Yeah, that one. Avenue Q won, I thought. Yeah, that was a big coup.
That was – and that was a big one. Or look at the shows from, like, the 91 that, like – it was, like, Will Rogers Follies.
Will Rogers Follies won.
And – but it was – oh, God, help me
out. City of Angels was in there? No, that was 1990.
That was, like – but, like, whatever – I can't remember – help me out, folks. Whatever Will Rogers beat, like, those shows are still, like, around – all the time. And
Once in this Island, maybe? No.
Maybe Once on this Island. Okay, wait. You start talking about your favorite thing, because I feel
okay,
like
and you look up, and then
I'm
interrupt
I'm a
me,
bad
and then
historian
we can,
today.
That's fine.
I used
yeah,
to be able to, like, rattle this off, like, and
I know.
I want to say
we're
it was
getting older, Rob.
Follies and, like, God, what the hell was the other one? Once on this Island and maybe
not Miss Saigon.
I wanted Sardar, but I could be wrong. I could be. You keep talking. You tell me about
because
your favorite thing.
Because I watched. My favorite thing actually. I could open up my favorite thing, which is a book, and turn to this chapter in the book and be able to tell you probably faster than you're going to be able to look it up. My favorite thing today is. And I had to – this is another example, Rob, of having to – hopefully I haven't done this one before.
Sorry,
what is it?
So this is what Will Rogers Follies beat out. Ready? Miss Saigon, mm-hmm. Once on this Island.
Yeah, we were right.
And The Secret Garden.
Oh, yeah.
Two of those shows have already had revivals. Secret Garden's about to have a revival. No revival of Will Rogers Follies, folks.
No, no one's going to hear that Cy Coleman score, which I love Cy Coleman very much, but I must say it is not my favorite Cy Coleman score. It seems sacrilegious, but I like The Life. I'll listen to that every day of the week.
Oh, I love The Life. Trivia, who was the original choice to play Will Rogers in the Will Rogers Follies? It ended up being Keith Carradine, but...
I did just read this recently. Oh, boy. I can't remember.
John Denver.
That's right. Wow.
John Denver.
Yeah. Fun fact.
Fun fact, folks. That's why it's so popular. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
So I'm about to, like, this is nerd alert time because this
nerd
is a favorite
alert.
Things. Sometimes our favorite things are like a YouTube clip that everyone's going to love. You're going to just type it in. You're going to go there. I don't know if everyone's going to want to buy this book. This is what you might call a periodical type book.
Period.
I looked up on our podcast if we had done this before, because I honestly can't believe we haven't, because it is so – I don't know about you. Well, I'll tell you in a minute, but it is so important to my collection, my books that help me, you know, do research on musical theater and understand it. It's by the great Gerald Boardman, and it's called American Musical Theater, A Chronicle.
Ooh.
I'm going to hold it up. Look how big this is. It's huge.
Oh, I used to own that book.
This thing is such an exhaustively researched history of American musical theater. It is so scholarly and so smartly done. It belongs on every bookshelf of any musical theater historian. But I think even if you're just a fan, there's so much to dig into and look at. Basically, what this man did from the very early, early, early beginnings of musical theater, it starts with, Act One, he separates the chapters of this big, huge book into sections, Act One, Act Two, intermission, all that. And it's all in chronological order. Act One is 1866. So he starts with the Black Crook, which is some say is the first time that you had music, dance, and acting all integrated into one musical, because there was the ballet troupe was out of work. And so they went over to the other, you know, the opera group, and they put it all together. That's a podcast of its own. But so he starts there, and in this book, there's been three different editions of it. I have the third and final edition. It goes up to the close of the century. So it ends with the season of 1999-2000. I think the last entry is The Green Bird, the Julie Taymor play/musical that she did after Lion King. But what he does is he talks about every single piece of theater with music. So it could be a review, it could be a full-length musical, revivals, every single thing that graced the Broadway stage from the mid-1800s all the way to 2000. And it's not just, oh, this happened, blah, blah, blah. He gives you, well, I'll open it up and I'll give an example. It's by season or year, and so let's go to All American. I just turned to it. He'll give, you know, the date of the opening, the theater that it played, and he just gives you some fun facts. It's narrative, so it talks about, you know, how it's he'll compare it to Four Nights After No Strings Arrived. It was the music by Charles Chess and Lee Adams, whose work, blah, blah, blah. He doesn't give you as much opinion as someone like, say, Ethan Mordden does in his sort of history books.
All American was a piece of shit.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I hated it. I hate everyone who likes it. It's done. But he's more factual. But he gives you a good couple paragraphs on every single thing. He'll give you little boxes of like famous people that you should know about and important, indelible, you know, changes they made on Broadway. But it really is a history lesson of where American musical theater came from, where it was going over the years. And I just have to finish with this paragraph that he – the last paragraph of the book. He died, unfortunately, I think in the 2000s, I want to say. I thought I wrote it down, but I didn't. Gerald Boardman had a family business that sold, of all things, mothballs. And then later in his life, he sold the family business, and that's when he began to write these history books. He also wrote books on Joan Kern. He wrote a book on American operetta, on Vincent Yeomans, on American musical comedy. And he does exhaustive research for these books. I cannot imagine him researching every single show that ever played in New York City. It's absolutely incredible. And I just have to read the ending of this because it just shows what kind of how he felt about musical theater. It says, 8 months after the last entry in this book, which was 2000, an old century will come to an end. What will the new century bring for the musical? Who in 1901 could have foreseen the musical theater of 1999-2000? So there is little point in speculating. Let us simply hope that in 2099, a theatrical historian will find that musical theater still productive and interesting enough to put together a, say, 11th edition of American Musical Theater, A Chronicle. And I think that's true. We're already one-fifth of the way through this next century, 19 years after the fact that he wrote that. And look at all that we've seen since then. It is with positivity. Everyone always says, oh, musical theater's dying, blah, blah, blah. Garbage. It is always evolving and always getting better, and it does go in ebbs and flows, of which this book certainly shows us. I think it's really important. So I check out, even if you go to the library, check out American Musical Theater spelled T-H-E-A-T-R-E, by Gerald Boardman. It's a huge book. I think you can buy it online for a little cheaper than what it originally went for. I think it was like $75 or something like that. But it's a really special book, and I think that it's definitely worth perusing. And it's one of those books that you don't read cover from cover, but you can just pick a season and just read about it. And you learn a lot. And it's a great reference book as well.
I like that. I like a good reference book. In fact, I think I'm going to give you my reference book too.
Ooh.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
We're going to do a reference book as well. So mine is, okay, maybe you remember this. Do you remember those books that used to come out? It was called The Best Plays Theater Yearbook.
Of course. Right? They don't do that anymore? They're no longer...
I don't think they're around anymore. I have looked like crazy. The last one I was able to find was like 2004, 2005. So anyway, folks, if you don't know what this is, they were like, I think they were on every single library reference shelf.
Yep.
And they went back a long, long time, like even in the early part of the 20th century. There were 86 editions of it in 2005, so I don't know. Yeah, that would be like the early part of the 20th century, my God.
Yeah.
And what they would do is they would take like 10 plays that they thought were really good in that season, either Broadway, off-Broadway, or regional theater, and they would like give you a synopsis, and they would show you like excerpt or dialogue from it. All of like the Hirschfeld drawings from the season were included. They gave you like all like the touring casts. It was really marvelous. It was, I think, one of the best reference guides for theater lovers. Anyway, the way that each of the books started, though, was a thing that was like written by the editor that told you all about that Broadway season. So, for example, it was broken into like five different parts. One was like the season, and it told you everything that was going on, not only in the country, but in New York at the time. Then every single show that ran on Broadway with the casts, with like what the shows were about. Then they also did the same for off-Broadway. And then they did the same for revivals. And then they did a section called Offstage, which was like all the Broadway gossip that was going on, how ticket prices were fluctuating, problems with the unions, notable deaths, etc. So anyway, somebody, Otis Guernsey Jr., who used to be the editor of these books, he put together a book called Curtain Times. Once again, the book is called Curtain Times. The New York Theater from 1965 to 1987. And what he did was he took those five sections for each Broadway season from 1965 to 1987 and put it together in an anthology. It is so resourceful. Because how many times have you like flipped through like a theater world and you're looking at a play and it's like, there's a girl in my ostrich. And you're yes. like, what is this?
Right.
Like, what the fuck would this play even be about? When yes. you open up the Curtain Times book and you go to that season, he tells you what that play was about. So you're like, oh, okay, now I see what it is. And I don't think there is such a play as There's a Girl in My Ostrich.
Well, that was a good one, though. I think that
it starred Russ that. Thacker and Anita Gillette, and it was at the Amphitheater for two performances. Understudy was Don Scardino. So anyway, so you can buy this book for $2.70 on Amazon. So once again, it's called Curtain Times, the New York Theater, 1965 to 1987. It's from the Best Place Theater Yearbook series. If you don't have those books, get those too, because those are yeah. available on Amazon now for like, I'm looking at one, the Best Place Theater Yearbook 2004-2005, 25 cents.
Oh my goodness.
Wait, I'm looking to see what those plays were.
That's a steal.
Wait, did you see any of these? Are you ready for this?
I actually don't have any of those books, and I should. I should maybe go, but now everyone's going to buy them, and I won't get them in time.
I haven't even heard of some of these books, these plays. After Ashley, Democracy, I know Democracy, Gem of the Ocean, I know Gem.
Uh-oh. If you, so help me if you say there's an ostrich in my office, or no, what did you say?
That was the out-of-town title. until Elliot Norton was like, you know, that's not a good title. It's giving everything away. Call it There's a Girl in My Ostrich or There's an Ostrich in My Girl. I can't remember.
It's a play on words. Get it.
But anyway, they're really fabulous references, and I think everybody should have one. I really think everybody should have one.
Fantastic.
Oh, and you know what? I just thought of something really quickly, going back to your Sherlock Holmes thing really quickly from a couple of episodes ago.
Yes.
Sorry. I just realized, you know,
or half an hour ago, because we recorded all ago. These one after the other.
Do you know if you go to the Sherlock Holmes Museum, there is no reference of the musical?
Really?
Yeah, Peter Felicia told me that.
That seems like a blaring omission. I wonder if they were not, because they had the permission of the estate. In fact, the estate is listed as one of the producers, along with Leonard Cohen, for producing it. That's yeah, with that special permission from the estate of Sherlock Holmes. Interesting. So,
hey, what year were you born? I want to do something really quickly. What year were you born?
1980.
What? When in 1980?
Well, June 28th, 1980.
Oh, so you're part of the second part of the season then.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see something. I want to see what the plays were for you. If I can find them. What were your plays? I can't find them. I want to see what plays were.
Oh, I know. I like that.
Were the winners when you were around. Oh, I can't even find that. That's okay. That's okay. Oh, there's a girl in my ostrich. There's an ostrich in My Girl. And All American.
There it is.
So it's all there. It's all perfect. Okay, cool. So I think these are two fabulous reference books. I used to have that American Musical Theater book and would devour it.
It is like an encyclopedia, but it is just a fantastic encyclopedia and well worth it.
Yeah, and then I sold all my books to the Strand, and then we started this podcast. Can you believe it?
You had to go buy them all back.
Yeah, oh my God, Kev, I used to have like, I think maybe 2,000 books that were all on theater crowding my apartment. And I was like, and we haven't done the podcast yet. I'm like, I don't need any of this stuff. I'm like, I can find whatever I'm looking for on YouTube. Literally sold it. And I think 6 months later, we started the podcast. And there are so many times where I'm like, where's that Frank Lesser book? And I'm like sitting, yes, sitting at the Strand. That's where that book is.
Oh, man.
Being devoured by some guy from Columbia who's now like, I'm writing a doctoral thesis on Frank Lesser.
But at least you can rediscover them all again. I mean, you maybe forgot you had some of these, and now, hey, it's a nice little like reminder. It's you know, comes full circle. I'm just trying to look on the bright side.
Thanks for that. So if you go to the Strand and you look at the theater book and you see my name stamped in it.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You're welcome, folks, for your free reading. All right, so mine is Curtain Times, the New York Theater from 1965 to 1987.
And mine is American Musical Theater, A Chronicle by Gerald Boardman.
Good summer reading. Till next time.
Have fun. Bye, everyone.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.